Now hit me.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back, Yardless. The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, first week of August, man. Get your grill out, fire it up, because it's going to be a great weekend to do it. Bob and I were talking about people asking us about equipment all the time. That's good. This is what we do. And we're always happy to have a conversation. But there's always a lot of questions. Somebody asks, well, what kind of smoker would you buy? Well, there's a series of questions that both of us ask to find out what to recommend. So, but today we're going to talk about what do you need to do to shop for a smoker. So one of the first questions that comes to my mind, Bob, is how many people do you typically want to feed using your smoker? Because there are a variety of sizes, right?
Right.
Second question is that there's a variety of fuels. Now, there are, stick burners? There's charcoal. There's propane. There's electric. There's pellets, right? Did I miss any?
Electric.
Yep, I said
gas.
That.
Gas.
Right. Pellets, stick burners or wood, and then lump charcoal. I didn't, because that's what I use predominantly. Is lump charcoal with some wood on top of it. But let's talk about those different kinds of fuels and why you might use one versus the other. I'll start with lump charcoal. It's a very slow-burning product. It's very hot, and you can temper it down with limiting the air and get it to a real steady temperature, back to this Kamado that we talked about in the first segment. That's a great place to use lump charcoal because you damper it down and it'll hold temperature and just sit there and kind of like it almost dances. It's got like a little ember going, and as the air goes across it, it just stays lit but doesn't get terribly hot until you give it the gulp of air like we talked about in the last segment.
Yes.
Right?
And the Kamados, Big Green Egg really kind of brought them to the U.S., but it was actually, my recollection is, it was a bunch of Air Force guys in Okinawa and places that used to bring home these Kamados from over there. They were just clay, and they got to be very popular amongst Air Force guys and military guys. And the more they showed up, the more the general public got interested in them. Somebody got the bright idea to make them in the U.S., and they did that, and it was, I believe it was Big Green Egg. And they made them out of a ceramic clay instead of just clay, which is much more efficient. And it helps insulate that charcoal so it burns slower in cold weather. You don't burn up so much fuel. Like a Weber kettle is just tin. You know, you lose a ton of heat out the bottom.
Right.
Your trailer smoker is just steel, so you lose a ton of heat out the bottom. We're going to fix that. But still, that's the basic story behind Kamados. But then, you know, Weber, of course, came up with the kettle grill. And that was because old man Stevenson was a manufacturer, and he made buoys for the Great Lakes. And they were big metal buoys, and they were two half balls. And I think he welded them together. And he took one of them and put some legs on the bottom and a couple air vents and made a grate for the top and cooked in the factory with it. And kind of like the Kamado got popular, is how things go, you know?
Right.
Hey, that's cool. Make me one. Hey, the next thing you know, he started making the Weber kettle.
Right. He had a product that he was using for one thing and he repurposed it for another,
yeah,
which took off better than the buoys, I'm sure.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah.
So the other thing Weber makes is something called a bullet, and it looks like a capsule, like a contact pill, you know, medicine, a giant capsule like that. And you lift the top off. It's got several layers to it, several layers of racks, and then a smoker bin, a fire bin on the bottom. And that's actually, I've seen those at competition. There are guys that have been using those for decades because it's an efficient smoker. You can get it for about under $400, and you can do some darn good smoking on it.
So let me ask you something, because our trailer smoker and this bullet has multiple racks in it at different heights. Is there any recommendations that you would have? That bullet smoker is, bigger than a basketball. It's maybe a 16-18-inch diameter, and it's about 3 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
The fire is in the bottom. There's a lower rack, a middle rack, and a top rack.
And there's a deflector.
Right. Yeah, a deflector, so you're not cooking directly over the heat. It's convective heat. But when you're putting product in there, what goes on the bottom, what goes on the middle, and what goes at the top for as far as what you're cooking? Does it matter?
With a bullet, I couldn't tell you because I've honestly never cooked on one.
But just in general, closer to the heat, medium heat,
well,
and high heat,
you
right?
You would think that, but like in the case of ours, it's a reverse offset. So the fire's behind it. The smoke comes in through a baffle on the backside, comes up over the top, and circulates around the bake compartment. The smoker oven.
Okay.
In that case, the top is hotter all the time. So you'll very often put two thermometers in it, one at the top, one at the bottom, to see your differential. You'll generally be about 15 degrees higher at the top.
Right.
So what I tell people is to put your thicker proteins at the top if you want them to come out somewhat the same time.
Okay.
Never works.
Because on our on our trailer smoker with the offset, the firebox is on one side of the box and the box itself holds the product. I've noticed that when I'm cooking that the stuff that's at the back of the box, closest back of the cooking box, closest to the fire,
well,
will get done a lot quicker.
Yes, that damper gets, you're right next to the fire.
Right, right.
So you can definitely get in trouble if you're not paying attention to it.
Right.
So the smart chef will pull out the rack and flop the meat around.
Yeah, I do that. That's exactly where I was going.
Pulls out the rack and flops his meat around.
Right. Well, you know, it took a while to learn how to do that, but after that, now I got it perfected, just so you know. But anyway, so then...
That's why his wife stays at home, Conrad.
That's right, yeah. I get it, man. There's a cause and effect for everything that goes on in this world. But
that's a Hegelian dialectic, isn't it?
Whatever that says, yeah. So anyway, the smoker that, the bullet is, one that I think a lot of people have seen. The next one on the list was a Yoder. That's a box smoker,
isn't it? Yeah,
that's a cool,
they have a whole bunch of them, but, as I kept looking for product to talk about, I'm just noticing China, 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 China. And it's like, I don't want to keep promoting China products.
Right.
So we have some good ones made in America. You're going to pay more. One of them that's reasonable is called a Yoder. It's out of, I believe, Pennsylvania.
I was going to say, Yoder sounds Amish.
Well, it's semi-Amish, which would be Semish. I don't know. What would that be, a Mennonite? There's something like that over there. But the Yoders, you're right, that's a clan. And this one comes out of Pennsylvania, so the Pennsylvania Dutch comes out. But I'll tell you what, they're craftsmen, and these guys know how to make grills. They've got some cool products. And if you find a dealer that's selling Yoder, you're probably into a shop that really understands barbecue.
Yeah.
Because it's
what's
a serious
unique about
product.
Them, in your opinion?
Oh, the strength and quality, the metal thickness, the welds, durability, paint, finish, all that. It's just it's a great product and for a reasonable price for that quality level.
Right.
Much like the ABS.
Yeah. So in the next segment, we'll talk about that ABS. That's more of a competition or commercial smoker, but a really good piece of equipment. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.